Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. It's Rich Wilson. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. It's Monday, and we're a day late, but not a dollar short, because we've got a great show planned for you this evening. Tim McLeod will be on in just a few minutes, and we are going to discuss what would happen if we were to redraft the first round today. We're not going to draft it today, but what would happen if we were to redraft it? Those guys that went in the first round just three months ago, would you take them in the first round? What about Paul Goldschmidt? Boy, it's been brutal. What about Carlos Correa? What about Chris Bryant? What about Clayton Kershaw? Would you take those guys in the first round? We're going to also hit the news and notes. We're having a little bit of technical trouble trying to get in, but hopefully Tim will be able to get in. So it's asking me feedback on my screen. I'll try again. But we're also going to do some news and notes, and then hit Tim's waiver wire to finish up the show. Guys, if you want to get a hold of us, you can do that with me at RichWilsonP361, at RichWilsonP361 on Twitter. Of course, get the Gary Tim McLeod on Facebook. Just go and put Tim McLeod, McLeod, and you'll be able to be Facebook friends with the great Tim McLeod. If you want to go out and support our show, you can do that by going to prospect361.com. On the right-hand side, you will see links for visit our sponsors. It is Amazon.com and StubHub. Just simply click on those and go off and buy whatever you want. If you like some of the merchandise we are hawking on the site, by all means, purchase that. But use those links, go in, and whatever you purchase in Amazon.com in the next day will be credited to us and the commission. It's an affiliated link, and also StubHub, I believe, for 30 days. Of course, we have MLB Shops where you get 15-20% discounts by using our link, and also Steiner Sports if you're interested in collectibles. Let me bring on the great Tim McLeod. Good evening, Tim. How are you?
Not too bad. 5-9 was the magic number, Rich.
There we go. Always an adventure here with Blog Talk Radio, but we made it.
Yeah. When it asked me to critique my experience on try number 3, I bit my tongue and just walked away, Rich.
I know, Tim. I was wondering if that was taking you the extra 30 seconds to actually type in your comments.
30 seconds wouldn't have got it done, Rich. Not even close.
So how are you, Timmy?
I am doing good, Rich. Life is treating me good. I was on Sirius on the weekend and chatting up the game a little bit. And I understand you've got some very exciting news, and I want to offer my congratulations to you, Lori, and to Matt.
Yes, Timmy, it was a double whammy this weekend. We knew this was going on, didn't want to say anything, obviously, but my son first graduated from Columbia Business School, so he's living the life of Riley. So my wife and I need to figure out where that expression came from. But anyway, he's been having fun for the last 2 years. It ends on July 9th as he actually has to go back and work for a living. But very proud of him. He did quite well and very proud. But even more importantly, he met a little girl in business school. Her name is Jillian, and she is just lovely, Tim. We've fallen in love with her, as Matt has. And on Friday morning, he asked her to marry him. So, and we had our fingers crossed that she would say yes, Tim, because my son can be a handful. And she said yes, and it's all good. So I don't know when they'll get married, probably in the next year to year and a half. And we got a chance to meet their family. And the cool thing is the father and the two boys, and actually the whole family, huge Yankees fans. We talked baseball at length when we got a chance to visit their lovely apartment in the city. And so that was all good. So It was a stressful week, Tim, a weekend where we got a chance to meet extended in-law family and potential in-law parents. And, you know, are they going to like us? Are we going to like them? But everybody got along famously. And I think we were all relieved that we weren't, none of us were psychopaths. So I think that was a good thing.
Well, yeah, that's always good when you can rule, you know, any sort of psycho situation out of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I married an ex-murderer or something. Yeah, no, you know, you don't need to see that at the theater, right? But
no,
again, offer
no,
my
no.
congratulations to Matt. I was thinking about that when I saw the news on Facebook, because I'm friends with Laurie and she posted it. And, you know, we've sort of grown up with our kids in this podcast, haven't we? You know, we've been through numerous marriages and, you know, in Matt's case, there was, you know, the MMA and, you know, his friends following the show, his friend on,
right.
I can't remember. Yeah.
Matt,
but I mean,
his name was Matt as well. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, there's always been sort of a loose connection between not only the two of us, but our families. That's sort of neat.
Yeah, so Tim, you've inherited a new daughter-in-law. So there you go.
Thanks, Rich. I've already got two. I'll let you have this one, okay?
Yeah, it just it's funny because, you know, both my kids, I love my daughter's boyfriend. He's just great. We all went out to dinner on Friday night to kind of celebrate. And Tim, I don't even want to tell you how much it cost me. It was a fortune. But he and I spent most of the time talking about baseball and life in the universe and so forth, as everybody else was talking about, you know, weddings and stuff like that. So I love him to death. And you know, Matt's girlfriend or now fiance is just lovely. So you never know who they're going to wind up with. You just cross your fingers again that they're going to be, you know, good people. And I so far, very, very fortunate that that they have hooked up with very, very lovely people. And I can't be happier. And as a dad, that's all you care about, right? I mean, you just want them to be happy, right? So
yeah, happy and healthy, Rich. What more can you want?
That's right. You know, I wish they'd like baseball more, Tim. That is my one wish.
Well, you know, I can tell you that, you know, sometimes that wish is not really a good thing. When I have the two kids, okay, calling me at the same time, looking for information on the same player, okay, it puts you in a certain spot that, you know, sometimes it's just not all that comfortable, right? It really isn't.
It's funny, it was during the so he was watching the game last fall with Jillian, you know, as the Yankees are making the run through the playoffs. And,
right.
And he's texting me like really, really basic questions about the game. And I'm like, did you not learn anything growing up with me? I mean, seriously, like nothing, like simple strategy questions. Like when a man is on first base and it's late in the game, why did the guy like crunch down and like just tap the ball with his bat? I go, that's a bunt, Matt. You know, it's like, really?
Well, you know, Rich, I would begin to question, you know, how many of our podcasts he has really, truly listened to, okay? Other than the ones when we were promoting the other Matt, right?
Exactly, yeah. So, or he knew what we were going to talk about. He wanted to hear what we were going to say. But that's okay, you know. Everybody goes off and does their own thing. That's what matters. So, Timmy, how are your teams, man?
Some good, some bad, some disgusting. Tote, I'm stuck between injury after injury, and my pitching staff is in shambles, but I'm sitting around 10th, 11th. I got enough offense. If the pitching comes around, I'll be okay. And labor, I've opened up a 10-point lead in first, so I got lots to cheer about there. And my CBS industry lead, I'm 2 points out of first. So across the board, I'm pretty happy.
So, Timmy, you and I are both in DL5, and it's embarrassing how bad I am doing in that league. And I would love to tell you, and I know all of our fellow league mates are listening to the podcast, I'm really not trying to tank, Tim. I know it seems like it because the team is so bad. It's just horrible. It's a bad team.
Team, Rich, okay? We were actually in first place for a brief instant 2 weeks ago. We're now in eighth. It's still all over the place, and I wouldn't give up hope yet. I'd give it at least tonight's games.
All right, so Timmy, at one point I hit 20 points. Now, for all of you listening, this is a 15-team rotisserie league. You get 10 points to start off with, right? Because that's one in every category. That means
that's
I only
correct,
got
yes.
10 other points. That is not good.
Yeah, but you know what, Rich? You could be in the top five in one category, so it's not all lost, right?
That's true. Timmy, I will say I'm thrilled in that league. I finally got rid of Billy Hamilton. I feel that is a weight off my shoulders because it is on-base percentage league. I think it's a guy I traded with who needed stolen bases. He has a chance to win. I feel like that was just a drag on my team. So I'm encouraged that I'm going to turn it around, Tim.
Well, you know what? I lost a joke by you trading Billy Hamilton because you were talking weren't you talking about buying a boat or something?
Buying a what?
A boat.
A boat? No, I'm not going to buy a boat.
Oh, I thought you were talking about buying a boat to do some fishing or something like that. Because what I was going to do, Rick.
A kayak. I was going to buy a kayak, but that's.
Okay.
I guess that's technically a boat, Tim. So, yes, I am thinking about buying a boat.
Yeah, because I was going to say when you buy it, being that you have Billy Hamilton, you won't need to buy an anchor.
That's true. Very, very funny, Timmy. Yeah, and that's what I felt like. And I think it was an emotional lift for me, even though my team is probably worse off because of losing him, because I did lose stolen bases. I don't care. I just wanted him off my team. So.
Well, you get to that stage with certain players where, you know, you've lived it. You watch them come through the minors. You've watched them struggle, and you're still holding out hope and more hope and more hope. And eventually, at some point in time, hope no longer floats, and you got to cut ties.
I know, Timmy. I know. Well, I'm thrilled that you're doing very well in labor and tout. We'll have to dig into your tout work team. It's always more fun to talk about teams that aren't doing well as opposed to ones that are doing well because it just, you know, I mean, it's better to say, okay, how are you going to fix this so maybe our listeners can kind of figure along with you as opposed to, yeah, I'm running away with 10-point lead.
Yeah. Well, you know, I can tell you how I'm going to fix tout. You, Darvish.
Well, he comes back, Tim. So tomorrow, right?
Yeah. You know what? My hope there is resting on I'm not going to improve my pitching numbers unless you, Darvish, picks up the pace. And I bought him. I paid for him. And now I'm living with him.
Yeah, and I don't know if he's I hope he will, Timmy. I hope he ain't got that little 10-day vacation, the sickness, quote-unquote,
right.
And help him figure out his mechanical problems or, you know, the people figuring out his pitches that he's throwing, you know, tipping his pitches. But because I own Yu Darvish in two leagues, and I'm in one league, I'm in third with him, and the other league, I think I'm in fifth or sixth, and I need Yu Darvish.
Wow, most definitely. Did you see my sign-in name tonight, Rich? That's how I remember prospects that we might discuss briefly. You know anything about the kid?
Well, we talked about this last week, Timmy. See, you don't pay attention. This is you logged in with the same name last week.
No, really? Is this like deja vu all over again, Rich?
Oh, Tim, this is embarrassing.
Oh.
It's Framwell Reyes. Timmy, you logged in with him because you wanted to remember to ask me about him. And we talked for about 5 minutes.
Oh, really? You know what, Rich? I'm thinking that, you know, this meeting new people and new friends and new discussions as I age and come down with certain syndromes, yeah, it might be very real.
Oh, dear Lord, Timmy. Timmy, my good friend. Oh, man, that's really, really funny. Yeah, but he got called up, so I don't know if his game is today. I think it is. Yeah, it's at 10 o'clock tonight, so we'll see what he does.
Well, you know what, Rich? As soon as we're off here, I'm going to go listen to last week's podcast and pick up all the news.
All you have to do is listen to literally the first 5 minutes, Timmy. You know, you're going to be, I think, embarrassed, actually, when you listen to it, because you're going to go.
I'm already embarrassed.
It was the same joke too. It was you called it with the name.
Man. I am so red. I got planes circling the house right now, Rich. Looking for a place to land.
Timmy, let's revisit. But first of all, Framo, Reyes, it's had a remarkable start to the season. I don't know, was it double-digit home runs?
Yeah, he's up to 14 or something like that.
So he's a guy you have to promote a guy like that, see what he can do. I mean, big swing and miss in his game, big guy, was a huge prospect a few years ago. I think everybody just forgot about him because I thought we all, this guy's never going to make it, but he's not that old. I mean, when you get drafted or signed when you're 16 years old, you can squander 6-7 years away and you're still in your early 20s and he starts to put it together. I mean, but there is tremendous raw power there, but there is a lot of swing and miss, and let's see what he can do. I mean, I'm not all that hopeful, but, one never knows.
Well, thanks, Rich. And you know what? Just in case, okay, and I kid you not, I have just put a sticky note on my monitor that says, don't bring up Reyes next week. I should be good to go.
Yeah. Log in with a different name this time, Timmy. That'll do it. You know, it's funny. You think of another big guy, a prospect, an Uber prospect in this case, is Jorge Soler. Everybody gave up on the guy, and he was a kid that came out of the Cup, signed for a lot of money coming out of Cuba, and big-time raw power, huge swing and miss. And this year, Timmy gets to a new team, actually in the last season, and he's starting to put it together. I mean, he's walking a lot more, cut down on the strikeouts. He hasn't, been a 30-home-run-plus guy, but it's more 20 to 25 home run. He's been the Kansas City Royals' best player.
He's definitely picked up the pace, and I'm happy to see it. Because you look at these big guys, and they can turn into, a Jorge Soler who's starting to show some potential, or Kenny Vargas, right?
That's a good point. I mean, I had such hope for Kenny Vargas, not because I thought he was going to be a great player. I told the story for those of you who missed it several years ago. I'm at batting practice in Trenton, and he called up into the stands and asked if I wanted his autograph. And I said, no, I'm good. He goes, no, you don't think I'm going to be a big star? And we started having this banter back and forth, and he was busting on me, and I was trying to give it back to him, and we both were smiling. It was a great time. He instantly became one of my favorite players, and I never knew if he was going to make it or not. And Timmy, I don't think he's going to make it.
No, but it's nice when you can have that sort of banter at the park, and the game becomes a little bit more than just stats and numbers at that stage, doesn't it?
You truly do root for players, Timmy, and it's like, because I don't really root for a team, but you start to root for these guys that, took a few minutes and, talked to an idiot sitting out in the, hot sun of Trenton in the late July afternoon, and, it was good. But, Timmy, let's talk about the first round. Shall we?
I like this, Rich. I like this a lot. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, because I like it even more because you basically said, I think you said I'm only going to keep 7 of the 15, or are you going to switch out 7 of the 15? Which was it?
I'm going to switch out 7 of the 15.
Wow, that's – I can't wait to hear it. Anyway, let me just kind of go – let's go first quickly with Mike Trout. He's number one. He'll be number one next year. Probably in the next 5 years. No issues with Mike Trout, I'm assuming.
None whatsoever. He'll be number one until his next injury, hoping he doesn't have one. And even after that, he'll still probably be number one after that. It's going to take an awful lot to knock Mike Trout off his perch, Rich. An awful lot.
Just have to read the stat line, though. 143 at-bats, 12 home runs, 8 stolen bases, has more walks and strikeouts, 34 to 32, 33 runs, 25 RBIs, a slash line of 315, 450, 650. It's really remarkable what he does.
Well, yeah, I have to use a calculator to add up those slash lines. That says it all as far as I'm concerned.
All right, let's go with the number two guy, Jose Altuve. Timmy, and of course, I'm a huge fan of Jose Altuve. I know you are as well. 170 at-bats, two home runs, two stolen bases. Very un-Altuve-like. Still only 24 strikeouts and 170 at-bats, 14 walks. It's typical Altuve. 23 runs, 17 RBIs, a 306, 364.06 slash line. He's got a 345 batting average. In play. This is the Jose Altuve, particularly in the stolen base category, that we were anticipating.
Yeah, and if I was drafting the first round today, I'm sorry, Jose. You didn't make the cut.
Oh, my word. Jose Altuve is not a first round pick. Now, you got to tell me more. Why?
Well, my problem isn't that I don't believe he'll pick up the power numbers and he'll score a ton of runs, but my concern is looking at the powerhouse that is the Houston Astros offense, is he going to run? And I don't think he is. I think the days of 20-plus stolen bases are gone. The Astros don't need Jose Altuve taking a chance on breaking a finger, sliding into second base. So, you know, looking at that offense and the way it's structured, I'm thinking 10 to 15 stolen bases. And that's not enough for me to be looking at Jose Altuve in the first round, Rich.
So do you think the 20 home runs will be there at the end of the year?
Yeah, I think the 20 home runs will be there. But Matt Davidson hit 25 or 28 last year, Rich. 20 home runs is, you know, just in spite of the fact that his ability to get on base, the batting average, OBP, et cetera, it's just not enough for me to have him as a first rounder.
I hear you, Tim. I'm still trying to come to grips with it, to be honest with you. So this is a guy
that.
No, I'm just picking at you a little bit, just having you defend it somewhat. 306 mm-hmm. batting average. I mean, we have to believe that 300 is a done deal. Not a lot of 300 hitters. 360 batting, a 360 on base percentage, so he helps you in on base percentage leagues. The one thing I'm a little disappointed in is the 23 runs. You know, I mean, that's an average. He's going to hit 100, but you would hope in that offense and batting where he bats that you would see more than 100 runs.
Yeah, but again, that Houston offense they're stacked from top to bottom. There's no weak spots there. Like, hey, I love Jose Altuve. I wish he would steal 25 bases. If he did steal 25 bases, he would still be in that first round. But I just don't see it. And there's young players out there that are going to do that. So I want that power-speed combo. And right now, I don't think Jose Altuve is going to deliver there.
I mean, Tim, intellectually, you've made a great argument. But my heart still says he's a first-round pick. So is that okay, mm-hmm. Timmy? Can I speak with my heart tonight?
Yes, you certainly can. It doesn't mean I'm going to change my mind. But, hey, a heartfelt speech is always good, Rich. I know you'll feel better for it. That counts.
Yeah, I mean, I it's hard to ignore your argument about the stolen bases. We did, and it's for all just to be clear, we did speak about that in the preseason, but we mentioned it. I know you mentioned it, but we didn't really, I guess, firmly believe that because we were all supportive of Jose Altuve in the first five picks.
Right, exactly.
Nolan Arenado was the third overall pick. Spent some time on the disabled list, but 8 home runs, got a stolen base, 33 strikeouts on top of 21 walks, 22 runs. This is a guy that has 40 less at-bats than Jose Altuve, and basically the same number of runs, 22 RBIs, a 313, 405, 588 slash line, a 363 batting average of balls in play. So you could see some pressure on that batting average. But nice, solid year for Nolan Arenado.
Yeah, and he's down a few at-bats. He'll pick them up. I don't have any problems with Arenado in the first round.
Trey Turner, Timmy, I'm going to give you his stat line, and then I'm going to tell you where I would take Trey Turner. 160 at-bats, 5 home runs, 13 stolen bases. What blew me away here was the 31 strikeouts and 28 stolen bases. Clearly, being able to control the strike zone much better than he has in past years. 26 runs, 15 RBIs, 275, 386, 425 with a 315 batting average of balls in play. He would be my number three overall pick after, quite frankly, Mookie Betts and Mike Trout.
That's where I've got him slotted. Yeah, he's number, if we were draft today, he's my number three behind Mookie and Mookie.
Yeah, I mean it's to me it is his ability to control the strike zone and knowing that 270, 280 batting average is going to be there, but more importantly, if he's going to walk that much and bat leadoff and have 100 points on top of his batting average of the on-base percentage. And an on-base percentage league, Timmy, I'm all in, man.
Well, you know, we're a quarter of the way through the season, so it makes the math real easy. 20 home runs, 52 stolen bases. Bingo. And combine that with a 386 OBP,
And 100-plus runs, and just for good measures, 60 RBI.
Yeah, he's a top three pick.
Yep. I'm interested. This has to be a guy that goes, Timmy. Number five overall pick is Clayton Kershaw, 1-4. Excuse me, Tim. 48 strikeouts, 10 walks, 286 ERA, 114 whip. Currently on the DL, been on the DL the last 3 years. Tim, first round draft pick next year.
Nice knowing you, Clayton, but a trend has developed. And until we see that trend reversing itself, I'm not going to pay. I'm not going to buy Clayton Kershaw, 150 innings even of Clayton Kershaw in the first round. No, he's out.
Wow. And it's all of a sudden it looks like the Dodgers aren't as good as we all thought they were.
No. They're using up all their depth right now in the pitching department to keep the ship afloat. And can you imagine if they didn't have Walker Buehler available, where they'd be?
Yeah, I know. He's been lights out, man, and it's been very, very impressive. But, you know, Clayton Kershaw is no longer, we talked about this a few weeks ago, is no longer the number one pitcher in baseball, and it had to happen at some point, Tim.
Yeah, it did, and you know, we mentioned it numerous times in the spring, our concerns about his ability to get back up close to the 200-inning pitch mark, and he's not going to do it this year, Rich.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, it's still a great pitcher, but, man, if you're only going to do 150 innings year over year, it's just not enough, and it's getting a little unlucky not winning any games, and all of a sudden, then that hurts you.
Well, yeah, when you pick up a guy like Giolito to fill in the gaps, that doesn't help either, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Somebody's got to replace him.
Yeah, he's not putting it together. All right, Timmy, here's the ugly one. And as an owner of Paul Goldschmidt, Timmy, I'm deeply concerned because – I won a league with him last year, and I traded for him with the great Alan Servinus. And I gave Alan a lot for Paul Goldschmidt, and until late August, I was feeling really good, and then he just went in a funk at the end of the year, and it has continued. 143 at-bats, 4 home runs, 2 stolen bases. Here's the scary part. 53 strikeouts. That's a 32% strikeout rate. That is a 50% increase from his career average and a 50% increase from last year. 25 runs, which you like, 12 RBIs, a 210 batting average, a 339 on-base percentage, a 378 slug, and it's a 302 batting average of balls in play, which is not horrible. I mean, that 210 might rise from a batting average standpoint, you know, looking at his BABIP to maybe 230. But if he doesn't cut down his strikeouts, Timmy, this is a bad player.
Well, and all of the things that you've mentioned, yeah, I totally agree with. But my big concern is a quarter of the way through the season, 2 stolen bases. That's my concern. Because we've always bought in on Paul Goldschmidt for the combination of power and speed. And I know we talked about it in the spring, if my memory serves me right. We probably talked about it numerous times most often when I wasn't listening. But once Goldsmith, Timmy,
just to remind you, you didn't remember last week. Just saying, Timmy. I'm just stating the fact.
Long term, short term, okay? Left and right side. Yeah. Just say that. I remember saying clearly, once he quits running, his value drops. And on top of everything that you said, two stolen bases, if he steals 10 to 12 stolen bases, that puts him down behind a lot of other first basemen. Rizzo and Freeman come to mind. So I'm deeply concerned about Paul Goldschmidt.
Yeah, and I mean, it's on base percentage is 339. It's called 340. It's not horrible. So he is getting on base. Why isn't he stealing any bases? And but it's the contact. I mean, that's the big thing. I mean, I think it begins with that, and everything else falls away. And I have no idea what's happened to him.
No, even if he bounces back, to me anyways, in everything, you know, the contact skills start showing improvement, cuts down on the strikeouts, he hits the home runs. If everything improves, he's still not going to be a first rounder for me because he's not running.
If I go to Twitter, Timmy, and find that Paul Goldschmidt just visited an ophthalmologist and needs glasses, I'm going to feel a lot better.
Shows the ophthalmologist probably.
something's got to be wrong. He's not an old guy. He's a big kid. So, I mean, you would think a tail off. He could be, a short career high kind of peak there. I mean, he does have potentially, that in him. But I can't believe he's fallen off like this so quickly. Something else has got to be going on.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, didn't Marcus Potter never really liked Paul Goldschmidt? Maybe you're finally right, Marcus.
you can always be right. It's like I had a debate with Louis Severino and on Twitter recently. It was this evening, and I've maintained I'm not the high man on him. I've been completely wrong about Louis Severino.
Right.
He is pitching like an ace, but he's not a big guy. He has a terrible delivery, and it still bothers me, Timmy, and to this day. And I still worry that he's a bullpen arm or a guy that's going to be constantly hurt. You can say that, and eventually he probably will be a bullpen arm. It could be when he's 35, but, you can always state that and eventually be right because guys get old and wear out. But so far I've been dead wrong on Louis Severino.
Yeah, and, hey, it doesn't matter whether you're right or wrong. It's the fact that you've been able to support your argument. Whether or not, at some point in time, we're all flipping the coin, and sometimes it lands heads, sometimes it lands tails.
You can't always, and it's funny, then you start to, I try to sit there and figure out why I'm wrong when I'm wrong, just so I don't make the same mistake again. But I would, if Louis Severino changes name, comes up through the minor league system and looks just like him, throws like him with the same delivery, I'm going to say the same thing. And because I just don't believe in that profile. Shorter. I think in Baseball References, a 6'1 or 6'2. I've seen him a bunch. He's not 6'1 or 6'2. Maybe he's got some lifts in his shoes to make him that tall. But man, this is no use of the lower half to me. And that always means arm trouble. Like Taijuan Walker was a guy that I always worried about because he never use his lower half, and he wound up hurting his arm. And I don't know. That's what bothers me with Louis Severino.
Yeah, and then you get guys like Chris Sale, okay?
I know, yeah.
That do everything wrong, but are still doing it right. And then, when you talk about smaller guys and struggling, you could throw Marcus Stroman in there because it seems like he's fitting that profile this year, isn't he?
Yeah, it's funny. My Jillian, who's my son's fiance's father, is a physician. He's a knee surgeon. I mean, he actually does lots of knee replacements. A big baseball fan. So we're talking about Tommy John surgery, and he works in the special surgery hospital, which is where all the sports guys have all their surgeries, including Tommy John surgeries and things like that. And, we were talking about, like, why is this happening? And I was talking about physiology and, the physicality of throwing. And he goes, well, there's a belief in joints, because that's what he is, a joint and a tendon guy, is that somebody who has a great deal of collagen, C-O-L-O-G, I remember that from chemistry somewhere, has more density, I think, in the tendons. If he's listening, he's probably, you know, like rolling his eyes because I'm getting it wrong. And so people with a higher level of collagen density are less prone to these tendon issues than those that have less collagen. So I said, well, that's interesting. Well, can we test that? Can I test that? Can I give him a blood test to see what his collagen? And he says, not that he's aware of, but he said that seems to be a marker in terms of those that are more prone to having tendon issues, you know, UCLs and things like that. But if we can't test it, Timmy, it's just an interesting kind of fact. I thought that was fascinating. So I felt like I learned something. I didn't know what it meant because I didn't really understand what he was talking about. He's way smarter than me, but I found it fascinating.
Well, I just learned something new, Rich, because I thought collagen was that stuff you put in your lips to make them all puffy, eh? So
yeah, that's right. Or something in your toothpaste, right?
Anyhow, when we're off the air, Rich, I need to get his name. I need two new knees. I need them quick, okay? So
I was thinking the same thing, Timmy. I'm like, hey, man, do you do knee replacements? I'm probably going to need one. Do I get the family discount here? I don't.
There you go, Rich. Well, look at the family. I need two.
And by the way, you're family, too. We've already talked about that, so maybe we'll get a twofer in there. Yeah, so let's go to Mookie Betts, Timmy. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's 13 home runs, 7 stolen bases, 19 strikeouts, 18 walks, 42 runs. Runs is, in my opinion, is the hardest counting stat to actually get. 27 RBIs from the leadoff position, a ridiculous 360, 440, 772. And all due respect to Mike Trout, Mookie Betts is the leading candidate for the MVP this year and is the number two guy, in my opinion. And it's not even close.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you, Rich. Betts right now is in a zone unlike anybody in the game. I mean, I think it was yesterday. You know, they were talking in, you know, about positioning in the outfield, okay? And there was a gap. I think it was in left center, right center, whatever. And they're looking at that, and they're saying Betts is in such a zone right now. He's probably trying to figure out how to drop a ball down in the gap. And what he do in his next at-bat? He drops one right down in the gap and trots into, I think it was second. Absolutely sick. See, somebody that much in control over what he can do with that bat, it's mind-boggling. It really is.
Next one, number 8, was Giancarlo Stanton. Starting to make a little bit of noise, 155 at-bats, 10 home runs, 2 stolen bases, little scary in 55 strikeouts and 18 walks, 28 runs, 26 RBIs, 252, 339, 516 slash line with a 319 on base percentage. It's a nice stat line, Tim.
Yeah, it is a nice stat, but it's not a first round stat line for me, Rich. The 55 strikeouts, the 18 walks, the 339 OBP. Why should I buy Giancarlo Stanton in the first round when I get Joey Gallo 6 rounds later?
Would you rather have Aaron Judge or Giancarlo Stanton?
Well, when we get into who would I draft in the first round if the draft was held today, are we discussing Mr. Judge? Is that?
All right, sounds good, Timmy. Let's take a quick break and we get back. We're going to pick up the back half of the first round. So out of the first round, according to the great Tim McLeod, is Jose Altuve. I'm really struggling with that one. Clayton Kershaw, Paulie Goldschmidt, Giancarlo Stanton. Next, number 9 overall pick was Charlie Blackmon, 138 at-bats, 11 home runs, 3 stolen bases, 35 strikeouts with 20 walks, 31 runs, 21 RBIs, 275, 375, 558 slash line with a 290 batting average of balls in play. Blackmon still in?
Blackmon is still in. He got himself a contract. He's going to finish his career in Colorado, would appear. Yeah, Blackmon is still a first rounder for me.
Bryce Harper comes in, number 10th overall pick. You know, I think he is leading the National League in home runs, 140 at-bats, 13 home runs, 4 stolen bases, 29 strikeouts, and 41 walks. Ridiculous. That's why he's got a 400 on base percentage. 30 runs, 30 RBIs, 236 batting average, which isn't great, a 400 on base percentage, a 543 a slug, but a 400 batting average of balls in play. So that batting average in a batting average league, that's a little disconcerting, but otherwise it looks good, Timmy. Still a first-round pick?
Still in the first round. Probably top five, Rich.
Wow, yeah. It's hard, particularly in on-base percentage league. It's hard to turn a blind eye to that. In a batting average league, it might be more back of the first round for me, but definitely
right.
In an on-base percentage league, top of the first round. Max Scherzer, Tim, the best pitcher in baseball, 7-1, 91 strikeouts, the 13 walks, 169 ERA, and an 0.82 WHIP.
Yeah, definitely the best pitcher in the game, and still in the first round for me.
That's going to be 300 strikeouts.
Yeah, there could be a couple challenging for that mark. The next guy on the list could be there at some point too. We did it last year.
Chris Sale, 3-1. Wins aren't there. It's pretty weird with playing for a really great team. 78 strikeouts, 11 walks, 217 ERA, .90. He's got to be a first-rounder, Tim.
Yeah, he's a first-rounder, and at some point in time, Boston's bullpen will actually hold a lead when he's left, and will hold it right through to the end of the game, Rich. The wins will come.
Yeah, Tim, you're cutting out just a little bit. It's actually almost sounds like it's clipping. So I'm not sure what's going on there, but it's clipping a little bit tonight. So I don't know if you got other windows open or anything like that. But just FYI.
Okay, I think it's Blog Talk Radio because I only had the window open. I just closed it. Does it sound any better?
Yeah, you're mostly. I think people can make it out. So Corey Kluber, 6-2, 61
okay.
strikeouts, 10 walks, 234 ERA, and 0.84 WHIP. He was the 13th overall player. Still a first rounder?
No, Corey Kluber's going to slip to the second round next year.
Okay. Carlos Correa and Chris Bryant ended up. I'm not going to go through their stat line. You know, Carlos Correa is solid. Chris Bryant is solid. Are they still first round picks?
No, 14 and 15 slide into the second round next year, right?
So out of the first round, Jose Altuve, moment of silence. Paul Goldschmidt, Giancarlo Stanton, Corey Kluber, Carlos Correa, and Chris Bryant out. So who do they get replaced by? Timmy, I have not done this, so this is all you. Who do they get replaced by?
Okay, well, the first of my replacement players has to be Manny Machado. 13 homers, 38 RBIs, and 1,100 OPS. If only he ran a little bit more, but he doesn't need to posting those numbers. So Manny Machado slides into the mid-back of the first round.
Okay, I support that, Tim.
Okay, next we've got a pair of Cleveland players. Jose Ramirez, 13 homers. 6 stolen bases and 998 OPS, and Francisco Lindor right behind him in the home run battle and stolen bases with 12 home runs, 5 stolen bases, and an OPS just a pinch over 1,000. Both those players make the first round for me next year.
Yeah, it's funny. I think Jose Ramirez is more of the back half of that first round. It's a guy that we talked about in the preseason. I was never sold on Jose Ramirez. I appeared to be wrong on a kid who also got out of the gates very, very slow. So a lot of things we're seeing, Timmy, been in the last like 5 weeks. At the end of the third week, he was sitting at like a 200 batting average. So this is a guy that's really turned it on here in the last 5 weeks. Impressive. And Francisco Lindor has just turned out to be, I think, better than anybody thought he was as he was coming through the minor leagues.
Yeah, so that's my first three replacements. My next one is Aaron Judge. 11 home runs, 35 RBIs. I was wrong, Aaron. I really was. 1042 OPS. Sick numbers. Aaron Judge can replace Mike Stanton in that first round for me, Rich.
Yeah, this is Timmy going old school, calling him Mike Stanton. But I still worry about the tremendous strikeouts that he has. But my stat head still says there's concern there, Will Robinson, but it seems like he defied it last year. He's defying it again this year with the crazy batting average of balls in play. But I guess, to me, when you're that strong and you hit the ball that hard, maybe you're just going to have – you can support a 360 batting average of balls in play and have a 270 batting average. Maybe that's what that means.
He's defying everything so far, so I can't deny him. If we were drafting today, I can't deny him a first round. Now, this is where it gets real interesting. You're going to like this one, Rich. The next three picks. A.J. Pollock, 11 homers, 33 RBIs, 9 stolen bases, and a 995 OPS. He's healthy, and I don't care what you say about the park expressing power. Mr. Goldschmidt, talk to AJ and find out what he's doing. It might help you out.
In the podcast that never made it to air, Timmy, I talked about AJ Pollock. The Diamondbacks have a very good team this year, and he's been the reason that they've had a good team, because Lamb's not playing. Yeah. Paul Goldschmidt, for all practical purposes, isn't really playing, and he's been the center at most of those games. And we saw this, 3 years ago, and then he got hurt. Yep. He missed an entire season last year. He just wasn't healthy, and he's finally putting it together. And I do think it's a walk year for him, so I know that's not hurting him as well. But you're right. I mean, it's been crazy stat line.
Yeah. How do you deny it, Rich? He's just playing good baseball. Him and David Peralta are definitely the two leaders on that team right now.
Yep. All right, who's your other two guys?
Okay, number six. And this is where we get real contentious, Rich. He's currently tied for the lead with Bryce Harper in the NL for home runs with 13. He has 5 stolen bases, 31 RBIs, and a 900 OPS. And I caught flack for drafting him in the 6th round this spring. Right now, Ozzy Albies is a first-round pick.
Yeah, it's hard to deny that, Timmy. It's hard to deny that. But seriously, do you believe in the power?
Well, you know what? I keep looking at the numbers, and I see Ozzy Albies as a 10 to 15 home run guy who got on a hot streak. So that brings him up in the low 20s. But I said that 2 weeks ago, and since then he's hit another 4 home runs.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm very, very thankful that I don't have to project hard numbers for Ozzy Albies right now, because I don't know what I would do. I really don't. He's on pace for 50 home runs. Like, until he stops hitting them, what do we do with him, Rich? You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. A kid that young demonstrating skills like he's demonstrating right now. It's just ridiculous.
If he hits 50 home runs, even 40 home runs, Tim, I might just hang up my prospect card, my fantasy card. I'll just, I don't understand this game. I really don't, if that happens.
Yeah, well, how do you rationally look at that? You know, okay, Rich, we're going to go back in time to February, okay? And Tim's going to say, yeah, I'm real bullish on Ozzy Albies this year, okay? I think he's going to hit 50 home runs. They would have thrown me out of the industry. You would have thrown me off the podcast.
That's right. It would have been it. It would have been, thank you very much, Tim. I've enjoyed these 7 years. You're fired. That would have been the conversation.
Well, yeah, but when you find the drugs that allow you to function properly, you know, give me a call, right?
Exactly. That's why I just can't believe. I mean, I saw this guy coming through the minor leagues so much, and it was swing was not leveraged at all. He had good bat speed. I thought he'd have some pop, you know, slightly below average, maybe average pop. You can maybe squint and see 12 to 15 home runs. But, man, I mean, a guy, let's not say 50, let's say 40. I mean, 40's looking like a bit of a chip shot now.
Well, it is, and I'm just very thankful, like I just said earlier. I don't have to project numbers for him until the end of the year, because right now I'm at a loss. I really am.
Yeah, if anybody says they saw this coming, they're lying. I mean, it's just the bottom line, they're lying. Even the Atlanta Braves didn't see this coming.
No, we don't see Anthopoulos getting on the radio saying, well, you know, I really thought he had this level of potential. Nah, that ain't happening, is it?
Yep, which again begs the question, do you believe it? And, you know, that's what's tough when you see these one-year outliers. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, if he does hit 42 home runs with 20 stolen bases or something like that, and will people believe it? And you know, and like in the NFBC, there's a lot of very skilled players because it costs so much to play in those leagues. I'm fascinated to see if he truly is a first-round pick.
Yeah, you know, it's like Aaron Judge. He didn't see the bigs until he was 25. So how do you project 50 home runs for Aaron Judge? You don't. You take it, and the decision comes in year two, and it looks like whatever he did last year, whatever changes were made and improvements in his game, it's sustainable into this year. So at some point in time, you just have to say it's real, right?
Yeah, but let's talk about Judge for a minute. It's the TV does not do him justice. This is a extraordinarily large man with just incredible leverage in a swing. He can hit home runs with the best of them. And there's, you know, Gallo, Stanton, those kind of guys. He's got that kind of raw power, top five raw power in the game.
Right.
If he made enough contact, you could say 40-plus home runs was definitely in the cards. You always worried about the batting average. Now, if you told me Ozzie Albies was going to steal 75 bases, I'd have gone, well, that's a little high, but okay, yeah. In no universe can I think that Ozzie Albies is going to hit 40 home runs. No way.
And he might very well do that, Rich. And he might very well hit 20, right?
Yeah, that would be interesting. I mean, Jose Altuve, we're a quarter of the way through the season. He's got two.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll project Altuve for next year to hit 8 home runs. I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. Okay, who's your last guy that makes it into the first round?
Okay, I got three guys here, Rich, and all three are capable, and I'm going to let you decide on the last one. We got Tommy Pham, 7 home runs, 7 stolen bases, a .983 OPS, and he hasn't played full-time because he's always nicked up. Then we have Freddie Freeman, 8 homers, 31 RBIs, 1.08 OPS. And now the interesting one, the guy that I have in the first round, if it's a daily league, Shohei Ohtani.
I can't go with Ohtani, Timmy. I just can't. I hear you. I mean, he was dominant yesterday. I mean, just dominant. He didn't win the game. That was just not right. I mean, it was 11 strikeouts. Guy got on base, and he went out, and the bullpen blew it for him. It's a Jacob DeGrom type of outing. I mean, as an owner of Jacob DeGrom, I watch a ton of his games, and it's like the seventh inning, he loses the game every time. I mean, just as soon as he goes out, you just know it's coming. And he was dominant. And, you know, if he – in a daily league, if he gets – You know, I don't know, 350 to 400 bats and hits 20 home runs. Yeah, it's probably a first round pick in the daily transaction league. That's probably it. I just, you know, my brain still can't comprehend the guy can be that good on both sides of the plate.
Well, you know what? He's got 43 strikeouts now and 32 and a third innings pitched. And he's got 5 home runs, 16 RBIs, and he's sporting a .1044 OPS. That's pretty darn good.
It's stupid good. I mean, it really is. The funny thing is, I mean, I've had my stopwatch. I'm going down to first base. Timmy's a double plus runner. This guy can run.
Did you see the home run he hit in BP at Coors last week, Rich? Did you see the clip of that?
I did not.
It was into the upper deck in the outfield. It was sick. People don't hit balls that far. I took a picture of the seat where it hit, looking out onto the field. You know, I can't even envision a ball being hit that far. Yeah, he's got 43 strikeouts and 32 and a third. Like, crazy, crazy. So that's who my three would be right now.
May I pick? I mean, mm-hmm. I get your logic with Shohei Ohtani in daily transaction leagues, but those are way leagues, Timmy. So, I mean, those are let's go with a traditional NFBC, you know, 30, you know, you know, weekly transactions and so forth. And let's call it an on-base percentage league. So a lot of the expert leagues, that's where the play. I'm going. I always thought Freddie Freeman was a poor man's Paul Goldschmidt. Maybe not anymore. Maybe he replaces Paul Goldschmidt as the best first baseman in the game. So that's where I think I'm going. Just I'm going to reduce the risk a little bit with Shohei Ohtani. I forgot who else did you who was my other choice?
Tommy Pham.
Tommy Pham. I am an owner of Tommy Pham in one league, and some guy got really frustrated with him in spring training, and I got him, and I wasn't sure. I didn't like Tommy Pham, and I like Tommy Pham now, Timmy. I like him a lot.
Well, you know, he's dealing last week, Rich. Okay, this is Tommy Pham. Okay, he's dealing with a groin issue, so he sits out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I think they had two games in the 3 days, right? So he sits out two of the first three games of the week. What does he do on Thursday? Hits a home run. What does he do on Friday? Hits another run. Okay, I'm back. Even with the missed time, it just boggles my mind. I had question marks to some extent about him, and I own him in a lot of leagues. I'm very happy to have bought in on believe him. But what he's doing is, it's almost silly, Rich.
Good stuff, Timmy. I love that segment. I love the fact that you over-prepared and gave us guys that now you see in the first round. So well done there. Let's take a quick break. We're going to cut the show down just a smidge here. And when we get back, we're going to talk Matt Harvey versus Devin Mazarako. I mean, who would have thought they would be traded for one another? And then we're going to get into your waiver wire.
Sounds good, Rich.
It was the crap for crap trade, Tim. Matt Harvey, once one of the best, maybe the best young pitcher, I guess, along with Jose Fernandez, the late Jose Fernandez, one of the top two young pitchers in the game, traded for Devin Mazarako, probably the best young catcher in the game, and they both have just fallen on terrible time. Devin Mazarako couldn't stay healthy, finally came back, and it's just not been very good for the Reds. And Matt Harvey goes to the Cincinnati Reds, a terrible place to go because it's a hitter's ballpark, the small ballpark and blah, blah, blah. But Harvey goes out first outing, four innings pitch, one hit. I forgot how many strikeouts he had, but he looked great. Devin Mazarako, I think he's got one hit, but it was a home run. Who do you think wins in that? The Mets with Mazarako or the Reds with Harvey?
I'm going to give this one to the Mets. I'm going to give this one to the Reds because I think Harvey's a free agent, so the Reds don't have to worry about him after this year. How's that?
So you think that that outing was just a fluke? I mean, I started him this week. I'm starting him, Timmy. I'm all in.
Holy. Rich, have you forgotten about the past 2 years or what?
It's in that diamond league, Timmy, where I have 20 points. So
okay. Yeah. I was going to say.
It was him.
You're not
or
spending
Jake
your NFBC money on this, eh?
That's right. It was him or Jake McGee. So, okay. I think it's the same guy.
Good call, Rich. Good call.
I mean, seriously. So, he's still hitting 93 miles an hour. He can't be that bad, Timmy. He can't be, right?
We have 2 years worth of stats to prove otherwise, Rich. I'm calling this trade basically a lose-lose. I was sort of hoping that Harvey would pitch real good because I wanted to see how much money it would cost people in Fab and possibly give me an edge later on in the season. That's how bad. Like I said, good for both of them. I wish them all the best, but I can't believe in either one. I really can't.
So I'm going to say that Harvey, I don't know if he'll be any good this year. I cannot believe that Harvey is all of a sudden just a horrible pitcher. I know he had the thoracic outlet syndrome. He had to have that fixed. I think it's just going to take him time to recover from that. I definitely think he needs a new change of scenery. I think he gets away from the bright lights of New York and gets to, you know, let's face it, nowhere Cincinnati. No offense to our listeners that live in Cincinnati, but it is not New York. It is not Los Angeles. And I think he has he'll have a chance to repair his image a little bit. You know, he's fighting for a contract. Now, whether he gets a contract of any substance next year, I think is up for debate, because is a major league team after 2 years of horribleness, even if he pitches okay the rest of the year, is somebody going to give him a multi-year contract? I think not. Somebody will take a chance on him because he's Matt Harvey, but I don't think so. I mean, I think he's fighting just for a chance to continue his career and get a 1 year, you know, kind of $8 million contract to continue to try to repair his career. But I'm just not believing that is completely over with Harvey. I think it's over with Mazzarocco. I think he is not the guy that we thought he was 5-6 years ago as he was coming up. He's just been overly injured.
Yeah, I can see it now, okay? We're into next November, okay? And Scott Boras is shopping Matt Harvey, okay? And I can hear it now.
I can hear it too.
You remember that four inning of one-hit ball, okay? That's your buy-in here, guys, okay? Come on, get with the program.
Yeah, we're going to start off with seven year and $200 million for Matt Harvey. That'll be where it is because of the really nice 3 months of Matt Harvey. Yeah, I mean, hey, it's Scott Boras. I mean, he's brilliant at it.
Well, yeah, I wish him all the best with it, Rich. I really do.
Timmy, we're going to hit your waiver wire and then call it a night. Good stuff so far. As always, Tim does a remarkable job with the waiver wire on Prospect 361. To find it, guys, you just go over the fantasy tab. It's called Tim Stage as well. You'll see 2018 waiver wire. You drop down to that, and it says it's always the latest week at the top of the list. Somebody said that week 7 was at the top, but I'm pretty sure it was always week 8. And this begins week 8. The first week was, I think you did one, the first waiver wire was before the season started. So I don't know if we're week 7 of the season or week 8 of the season, but it's out there.
Yeah, we're heading into week 8, Rich. So I think we're right bang on. And it's sort of almost now like a sort of a game. I look forward to reading your intro, because after you explained to me, you know, that you wouldn't be shy on the snark, it's sort of a game to see if I got to that nerve that prompted you to get a little snarky and nothing this week. I thought Manny Benuelos might have done it.
You know, it was funny, Timmy, and this is a true story. So I'm watching the Yankee game over the weekend because I'm in New York, and, you know, Yes Network was on TV, and I'm watching, and I'm seeing Dylan Betances out there pitching. I'm going, whatever happened to Manny Benuelos? Remember, it was the three Bs that came up, Betances, Benuelos, and all the other guy that was 6'9", and couldn't find the plate, but had a great arm. I can't remember his name. So I started looking at Manny Benuelos. I mean, this was literally what happened on Saturday afternoon. You know, we had a little downtime. And I go, oh my God, he's like doing great. I mean, it's like, yeah. I mean, it's a 9+ strikeout per 9. He's not walking anybody. I don't know what he's, you know, I don't know if he's throwing hard or anything, but the stat line looked great. He was in the PCL. I'm going, wow, maybe there's something there. Maybe I should consider drafting. And all of a sudden, Saturday night, I burst out laughing. I get your waiver wire. There's Manny Benuelos at the top of the list. I'm going, oh, my gosh, this is too funny. So,
timing is everything, my friend. Yeah, I was just looking at the Dodgers and trying to figure out who they're going to call up next, because Rick Hill is like one inning away from another blister and, you know, hitting the DL, whatever. And I looked at There was Ben Willis, and the numbers jumped out at me. Like, I think the Dodgers are going to give him a spin at some point in time. They're going to run out of arms. They're going to have to.
I honestly, Timmy, did not know until that Saturday afternoon that he was with the Dodgers. I had no idea. I had completely lost track of him.
Well, it's sort of like today, okay? You know, you're looking at Seattle, and Robinson Cano goes down. And all of a sudden, somebody says, you know, who's next in line? You know who they called up today, Rich, for Cano? Gordon Beckham.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, it's funny because I go to a lot of AAA games now because Charlotte's, AAA, so we have season tickets, and you see guys like, really? He's still playing ball? It's like, wow.
I didn't know Gordon Beckham was still in the game until it popped up. I didn't have a clue.
I know. It's amazing. But, hey, look, Timmy, I don't think you know as either. We know nothing of what he's throwing. We don't know if he's hitting the low 80s. We don't know anything. But the stat line looks pretty darn impressive.
Well, that's it. The stat line looks impressive. And it's not like the pedigree wasn't there. It was there right from the get-go. I'm happy to see that he's still healthy in pitching. And my gut feeling is if you can pick him up in a dynasty league for a buck right now, spend the buck.
Yeah, it's good. Oklahoma City's, that's where he's pitching. It's not a horrible ballpark. So, as opposed to like Colorado Springs and some crazy places like that, which, a 5.5 ERA is pretty good out there. But, good for Manny Banuelos. I will say, for those of you long-term listeners, you've heard the story before, but I think it was 6 years ago, Timmy, at the Arizona Fall League, Manny Banuelos was all the talk. He was the best pitcher on the field. He looked great. He looked like Wandy Rodriguez to me. He's like 6'1", coming way from the first base side, pitching across his body. He looked like he was going to be the next kind of solid lefty that was out there that was going to be a 3.5 ERA guy, win a lot of games, and it just didn't happen. I mean, it just all fell apart for him. He got injured and never recovered.
Yeah, and I wish him all the best as well. I remember that AFL season, and you're right. He was talk of the town.
Yep. Next two guys are Baltimore Oriole relief pitchers. And all of a sudden, Timmy, the Orioles were horrible until last week, and they turned into the Baltimore Orioles just crushing the ball.
Yeah, Chris Davis showed up, actually showed some offensive prowess that wasn't offensive. They won a few games. I think they beat up on Tampa Bay 17-1 or something like that. It was.
Yeah.
I know the highlight of the game was Josh Fields pitching a clean inning for Tampa, so that says it all, right?
Having said that, Timmy, I am a multi-league owner of Dylan Bundy. I think I have him in four leagues. As you know, I've been a huge Dylan Bundy fan. It's been struggling over the last couple of games. And then Monday or Tuesday night hit. I don't know if you saw the stat line, but it was seven batters, I think four walks, six runs, and he didn't get an out. My ERA and pretty much every league went up by at least 0.25, maybe 0.3. And it was devastating, devastating. And here I am going, oh, God, he's got a kind of second start for the week. And he was lights out yesterday. It's like I just don't understand this game. But that one game, Timmy, it's worse than a punch to the gut. I mean, it's just so disheartening when – look down and you're looking at CBS and you don't see like an ERA because it just says 6 ER, and like I don't understand how many, like, what's his daily ERA must be high, and there's none because he got nobody out.
Yeah, that is the worst. When I saw him toss that one hitter, I shook my head for a good 10 minutes. I could not believe it. How does a pitcher go from not being able to get anybody out to allowing one hit over, what was it, six or seven innings? It boggles my mind. It really does.
But he plays the Red Sox today, Timmy, and I put him on the bench in as many leagues as I can. Watch, he'll pitch a no-hitter, but there's something, his velocity is down, something's not right, and I'm sitting him where I've got a better option out there because I feel thankful that I didn't get crushed on the second outing, because this is a guy that's not been good the last couple, three outings after starting the season pretty solidly. And it's tough, but the two guys you have are Brad Brock and Zach Britton. I thought the Zach Britton was a great call out. People have forgotten about Zach Britton. He's going to be back at some point, probably in June, but Brad Brock, Darren O'Day, might not be the interim closer. I could have swore you would put in your buddy, Michael, Michael Givens, but you go with Brad Brock.
Well, yeah, you know, Darren O'Day had the job. He took it from Brock. O'Day hit the DL with a right elbow problem. O'Day is going to be back, I think, this week. He's taken the DeGrom route to success on healing hyperextended right elbows. So he's going to be back. So I think it's going to be Brock, possibly O'Day. But the bottom line is you're looking at 2 to 3 weeks worth of saves at best. And then Zach Britton will be back, and it will be his job.
The big pickup this week was Tyler Clipper, Timmy, with Roberto Ozuna going out. The suspension was – how long was the suspension?
They renewed it to the 21st today, to extend it 7 days. So I'm anticipating something being resolved before the conclusion of this next 7-day stint. But it doesn't really look good for Roberto Ozuna right now. And the Jays have four options, and Clipper got the first save, so I can see them running with him until he doesn't run all that great anymore. Hey, if he's successful, he's going to hold the job. The guy that I invested in this week, because I was a tightwad, was O. I picked him up for pennies on the dollar, and I think he could work his way into the mix. As far as the other two, I think they leave Tapera in the eighth inning, and Axford somewhere between the sixth and the eighth as well. So that's the way I'm calling it. We'll see how it all unfolds.
Zach Eflin, Timmy, I saw him pitch last year in AAA, and actually looked impressive when he was in AAA, and he's looked very solid here in his first appearance this year.
Yeah, he's got himself a little bit tougher a matchup coming up, other than the Marlins and Giants. But so far, he's only allowed one run in those first two starts. Go take a look if he's available. Get him. You might want to sit him this week with the O's and the Cards. But I like what I've seen so far, Rich.
Dustin Fowler, Timmy, I mean, it's a guy that I wrote about as my sleeper for AL Rookie of the Year. You've been talking about him. We question, where was Dustin Fowler? Where is Dustin Fowler? He finally gets his chance, a really good outfielder, some speed, some pop. Who knows if he's going to hit now. But at some point, I think he's going to be a very, very good player. And let's hope it's this year, Tim.
Yeah, he's no Boog Bell.
Here's a name that all of a sudden, in our dynasty leagues and all our CBS leagues, yeah. I mean, Sir Anthony Dominguez. No one had heard of this guy until Saturday when, Hector Neris is just blowing up. And everybody's out there bidding on some guy named Sir Anthony Dominguez. Tell us who he is, Tim.
Sir Anthony, his parents obviously had a very good sense of humor. I love that first name. I really do. Going through life being called Sir Anthony. Thank you, please. I like him long term. He's got a big arm. I like the potential down the road a bit. I think short term, Ramos is probably your guy. They might even look at Tommy Hunter. They'll look at a veteran before they just throw him into the role, but I think long-term he's got a very, very good chance and opportunity to work his way into the ninth inning. I just count on it immediately, Rich.
Yeah, I think Hector Neris still has a bit of a leash on him. He's got a great arm. I mean, he's always been inconsistent, but when he gets in a role, like a lot of closer, he can pitch very, very well, but he's your typical, back half closer when you're in a draft. I mean, you have to expect that he's going to go through periods of potentially losing his job, maybe even losing his job. And, he's not Craig Kimbrell by any stretch, but he's okay. I think they'll give him a few more chances.
Yeah, they've already said they're going with a committee approach. So you're going to see Neris in there. You're going to see Ramos, I think. And depending on matchups, you could see one of their other seventh, eighth inning guys. I just think long term he's worth a look and a stash.
It is the once a year edition of Travis Jankowski and Mickey Matuk, Tim. They always appear here at least once a year, and here's their time to be at it.
That's it. You will not see them again until next year, mid-May, Rich. You have my word.
Jankowski's got speed, and Mickey Matuk, I'm not sure what he has, but he's got playing time. So if you need a born body, there you go.
I just put on the bottom of that stick'em note, don't bring up Jankowski and Matuk to don't bring up Reyes next week, Rich. Okay, so we should be good.
A guy, Timmy, I'm really glad you put in here is Mitch Moreland. I unfortunately dropped him earlier this season when he was getting no playing time. Who would have thought that Jackie Bradley Jr. would be as bad as he's been this year? And there's just a lot of discussion that he's going to become the fourth outfielder, the late defensive replacement, particularly against right-handers, and it's going to be Mitch Moreland at first base. And, you know, Hanram at DH, and they're going to throw J.D. Martinez in left field or right field and move Mookie Betts to center. And that's going to be the configuration. At least that's the word coming out of Boston that seems to be getting a lot of momentum. And Mitch Moreland's going to be the beneficiary. And as you say, he's been sneaky good.
Well, yeah. He's only owned in 37% of the leagues at CBS. He's got 6 homers, 20 RBIs. And I had to look 3 times at that. A 1.009 OPS. That's way too good to be sitting as a free agent in 63% of the leagues out there. Right?
Did you say alt? Did you say alt?
Double alt, yeah. I learned that from the Beverly Hillbillies, Jethro. That's my his contribution
that's right.
to my education.
Double alt 7.
Yep.
Okay. Right. It's funny. And your I just lost my place here in Peralta. It was a Freddie Peralta you put in there in your write up. You talked about Willie Peralta, which led me to all of a search where Willie Peralta is. And Timmy, do you have any idea who Willie Peralta is playing for now?
Yes, I believe it is the Colorado Rockies.
The Rockies?
Yeah.
No, that was last year. He is now with the Cubs.
Oh, the Cubs. Okay. I thought he was still with the Rockies. I thought I'd be a little clever and put that. He'll be more wily than the last Peralta. So I tried to play around with the Peralta last name a bit there, Rich.
Yeah, just thinking of Manny Benuelos and losing track of some of these guys. And Willie Peralta's out in Omaha. 7.04 ERA, 16 strikeouts, 10 walks, and he's now been put in the bullpen. Thank goodness he's in the bullpen. Maybe he comes back as some kind of middle reliever one day. But why Freddie Peralta, Timmy?
Well, I looked at the numbers down in the farm. The kid's young. He's only 21. But how does a 21-year-old making his debut in Coors Field toss 5 2/3 of 1-hit ball. He had no hitter going until he pitched 5 1/3 innings of no hit ball and 13 strikeouts. Like, where does that come from, Rich? How does that happen in Coors Field?
Well, doubt it happens again, but it's the guy that, I get it. I mean, I know why people are going out bidding on him, but just know, okay. It might not happen again. I mean, a lot of guys come up to me and they pitch really well their first outing. And then we saw that with Hermaine, the Yankee guy, and he got beat up pretty bad the second time, 6 runs. Gave up 6 runs. So, I mean, you know, once these major league guys get a book on you, it can turn ugly in a hurry.
Well, yeah, we saw the same thing with Matt Harvey about 7 years ago, too.
Oh, man, Timmy, you're brutal. Alex Reyes, Tim, another name, Zach Britton. People have forgotten about Alex Reyes, only owned in 59% of CBS leagues. A lot of those are keeper and long-term dynasty leagues. So he's going to come here soon, Timmy. Still got a great arm.
Well, yeah, and you know, they're going to use him out of the bullpen. And as much as Bud Norris has been very effective, Bud Norris and very effective in the same sense doesn't usually last a long period of time, Rich. So I'm thinking with Reyes and his stuff pitching in a relief role, if you tell me that 3 months from now he has 10 saves, I wouldn't be surprised at all. Not surprised.
Wow. That first outing, he did start 10 the first outing, 3 1/3 innings, 4 hits, didn't give up a run, 6 strikeouts, 1 walk. So he looked solid. You know, I've heard both. I've heard he's going to be put in the bullpen. I've also heard that he might start. I don't think anybody completely knows, but it'll be interesting how they bring him back, because you can argue both sides, right? You can argue keep his innings down, put him in the bullpen, or you can say, hey, throw him out as a starter and just monitor his innings, pitch him 120 innings and shut him down.
Yeah, I think I was basing my assessment as a potential closer on the fact that I thought the Cards announced that they were going to be.
I thought they had, Timmy, they had earlier in the season, but I think somebody in the Cards organization has said, no, I think we still view him as a starter. So I'm not sure anybody knows yet. And the fact that he did start his, opening day and opening game and St. Louis and wherever it was, I think it was High A, wasn't it? Yeah, at Palm Beach. And he did pitch 3 1/3 innings. So, so we'll see how it all shakes out. But given how Greg Holland has been, they need some help in the back of the bullpen.
Definitely, I think he'd be more of an asset there. They can bring Flaherty up. Is Wainwright back on the?
Yeah, Wainwright's back on the DL, Timmy. So not good.
Okay.
Kirby Yates finishes up our list. Go out and read that. You can learn all about Kirby Yates. We will hold everybody's suspension until they get a chance to go out to the site to read about the wonderful Kirby Yates. Timmy, it is a wrap.
Yes.
Tell us what you got going on the rest of the week.
Well, I got a fun week planned, Rich. Do you remember what happens at the age of 50 and then at the age of 55?
Yes, I do. I very much do, Timmy. You're going in for a colonoscopy.
I turned 60 this year. Congratulations. I get to drink that crap. Well, and spew crap for 24 hours, Rich. It's hard to really describe it until you've been through it. But Thursday morning, I have my appointment in the day surgery department. So please don't anybody post anything on Facebook relating to food on Wednesday, because I will hate you forever, if not longer.
Yeah, Timmy, it's my year to do it as well. And I'm switching doctors because I moved town. So I have my getting my new primary care physician in June. So I'm assuming sometime in the back half of the year, I'll be doing the same thing and we can compare notes. It's a rite of passage for all you youngsters out there. Enjoy being young, because this is it's not painful to me. It's just very, very bad. It's not a lot of fun, I guess. It's right. That's the only way to say it.
Yeah. When you said the back half, that summed it up nicely.
Very, very good, Timmy. I'm going off to Los Angeles. I'll be going to see a game tomorrow night. I'm not exactly sure. I got to look at the pitching matchups, and then I don't know what to do the rest of the week, Timmy. But it's things are getting back to normal here with my life, and it's all good. So
you're planning a wedding, Rich. That's what you're doing. I know you are.
No, I'm not doing anything. I'm go to the wedding. I'm not planning any wedding. Now, I can guarantee you I'm not doing that. Guys don't plan weddings. That's the bride and all that stuff. So.
Oh, okay. So yeah, okay. That's traditional. Yeah, I won't tell you how much involvement I have then, because I really don't. I don't want to shatter that dream, Rich.
What happened to Alan Hansen, Tim? He got hurt.
Yeah, round in third base, he tweaked a hamstring. Bochy said he'd be okay. Bochy lied. They put him on the DL, the 10-day. He pinch hit. He did it on Saturday, I think. I think he pinch hit on Sunday. I don't think it's real serious, but it's just enough that they felt they'll give him the 10-day rest and get him back in there. And hopefully Joe Panik is still a ways away, because I want to see more of Alan Hansen. He's really delivered so far. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, Timmy, I was going to almost declare victory for us. It's up to four home runs. He's got some stolen bases, but we're going to have to wait a little bit longer. But we might have been right about Alan Hansen.
Yeah, we were just a little early on the call, 3-4 years early.
That's true. I did keep him in one league. The other leagues I dropped him in, but I always liked the kid. And I got to tell you, I was pleased for him, a little pleased for me that he finally started putting it together. Because I always thought he had really friendly fantasy skills, and it was good to see that finally come into light.
Well, yeah, I was pleased for him, too, and I wasn't pleased for me because the first place I looked was the one league where you still happen to be pleased. Sorry, Rich.
Yeah.
It's still all about me, okay?
I understand that. Timmy, great show. Love the waiver wire. We're back on Sunday night. I see no reason why I can't be on the show on Sunday evening. And so 9 o'clock Sunday evening, we'll be back.
Sounds good, Rich. Have a great week. Get some good scouting in and be well, my friend.
See ya.